Blog Talk Radio.
Get a better understanding. Hold on a second.
Hey, I'm Nick.
Can
you hear me? If you can hear me, press 1 on your phone. I got a late call. So Sister Dyer wasn't going to be able to teach tonight. But if you could hear me, press 1 on your phone. Press 1 so I know that I'm speaking to a live audience. Just press 1, please. I got everybody's line open. So take your phone off mute and speak up, please.
Mine is on mute, but I can hear you, but you can't hear us.
I hear somebody.
Yes, Muhammad Sharif, I hear you. Alaykum as-salam.
Okay. I hear somebody, but it's mighty faint. It's mighty faint. Assalamu alaikum. This is another edition of A Message of Concern. One of the most important radio broadcasts ever in the whole wide world. And we're trying to move that image. We're trying to... I dropped the phone. I'm sorry. Let's see. Okay, you probably just said that. We're trying to move that image, and we're trying to respect the majesty of the one God who created the heaven and the earth. But when you say the earth, we know what the earth is, but the heaven... You know, they got billions of stars and galaxies out there and all that going on out there. Well, Almighty God Allah is the creator of all that. I hear somebody. I keep pulling up. Let's see.
Assalamualaikum. Welcome, Assalam.
Alhamdulillah. Okay. Alhamdulillah. You hear me? It seems like he fading now.
Yeah, sounds like it. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. I'm going to call him. No, she's not getting on today from what he's saying. I'm going to give him a call, Brother Sheree.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Assalamu alaikum. Okay, this is Amin. Let's see. 240 went out. Okay, assalamu alaikum. If you can hear me, press 1 on your phone. She press 1 on your phone if you can hear. Okay, 914. Alhamdulillah, we got that. All praise be to Allah. Thank you. All praise be to Allah. This is the Sunday edition of Message of Concern. And all praise be to Allah. We try to remove the image and give Almighty God the respect. You know, people talk about the Son. The Son of God. And you got to believe in the Son. They're really confused about religion, but Allah made it very easy and simple for us as Muslims. So we just got to submit to it. Just submit, you know. But let me take care of something. I'm going to open up all your phones. I'm opening your phones up, and I'm going to step away. And a second, I'm with my auntie. She's 94 years old. So I'm going to step away. We got 323 open and 914 open. 240 open.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam. I'm gonna put myself on mute. I gotta step away, but you know, go ahead, continue.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah.
With Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful, I testify and bear witness that there is only one creator, one God, and I bear witness and testify that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon Prophet Muhammad, is a human being just like you and I, and he was a seal of the Prophet, the messenger of Allah, and he was God's servant. We'd like to give all the believers the greeting of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. First of all, I would like to say the prayer with Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful, master of this day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and thine aid do we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those whom thou hast bestowed thy mercy, grace, and not of the way of those whom thy wrath has brought down, not those who go astray, I mean. Alhamdulillah. So brothers and sisters, we are here again on the message of concern. And this message that we are giving is to the people that is being affected by images in religion, false worship, you know, and by things that is not real. You know, but we associate those things with the Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Much of the creation, some part of the creation, we still got peoples putting that up as God, as the one that created everything, the one that created us, the one that gave us this air, this water, and thing. And they set that up as their God, you know, and they preach and teach this, you know, to the world. One of the crucial things and a serious problem that we are having is we have our Christian brothers and sisters, you know, they are reaching out to the peoples and offering to the peoples the idea that God had a son. You know, and our book, the Quran, say, you know, how could he have a son when he don't have no consort? He don't have a wife. You know, God is the one that made the law in reference to marriage. God is the one that made that law. You know, then he going to turn around and break that law himself? That's something wrong with that. Something wrong with that. And then when they present the idea that God's son died, and then they turn around and say that he volunteered to die. So that's by our definition, the world definition, is suicide. You don't volunteer and die. You know, that's suicide. That's the name we have for it. Suicide. You know, and then they turn around And it teaches the world that he died for our sins. He died for our sins. And it teaches the world that if we don't accept this idea that Jesus died for our sin, then we can't go to heaven. We're not going to heaven. So they got that type of threat out there. And they say that God's son is one of the nationalities. They said God's son is a Caucasian. They portray him as a Caucasian. You see all those problems? You see how that could affect other nationalities? We got the Japanese, the Chinese, the Indian, the Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, Jamaican, Haitians. We got all these different nationalities. And they going to put forth the Caucasian as one of the families of God, as though God's family is Caucasian. They said that Jesus is the Son of God. And they say that Mary, the peace and blessing be upon her, is the mother of God. Astaghfirullah. Allah forbid. God forbid. They got these type of confusion out there, these type of lies out in the society, and they got many people believing in this. And they are teaching and preaching these false concepts every Sunday. They're bringing that to the public. And you got many people is believing in that. You got many people believe that's the truth, that God got a son, and that the son died for our sins, and that the son is one of the is one of the Caucasians. The nationality is Caucasian. So, brothers and sisters, that's, if we ask the question, what would happen if we raised up a black image and put our image all over the world as the Son of God, as God in the flesh? What psychological effect would that have on the mind of the Caucasians? What psychological effect would that be on the world's children, the little children? What psychological effect would that have on them? Some of the answers that we have received, that African American children, as soon as they see look at the false image, it makes them psychologically inferior right away. It makes them psychologically inferior when they look upon that white image as God's son or God in the flesh. It has a negative effect against them. But when the Caucasian, when they look at it and they see it, that is their own image, what it does to them, brothers and sisters, it makes them false. It makes them artificial. Why is that? Because they can't be God. They can't become God. They can't become the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the all-seeing. They can't become that. So it makes them go out in the world pretending. So this has its psychological effect. It has its psychological effect on the male, or on the African American, on the African American children. It has the psychological effect that is weakening them. It makes them want to be somebody else. It makes them hate themselves. So it's damaging. It's dangerous. It's out there, and it's out there doing something. It ain't doing nothing positive, brothers and sisters. So we're asking for the removal of all racial images out of worship. They have all these images and all these lies in the church. And every Sunday, I'm going to say every Sunday, they're preaching hard. They try to make you believe this lie. Try to make you think that everything is all right. So what it does, brothers and sisters, the psychologist says one of the main causes of mental illnesses, the people's going crazy, is false worship. One of the main causes. We can push that image. And you can bag up the Caucasian. They're going to have a little power, but it's going to be temporary power. It's going to be temporary power. You know, I look at the different communities in the different cities. And how things are vacant. And I look at the wealth gap. You go in the so-called poor area, you see trash all on the ground. You see homes deteriorate. You see businesses close down. But at the same time, you go into an area that is so-called white area. You go into that area, they got the grass cut. They look like they're prospering. It gives you a good feeling just to be there. They got buildings coming up. They got supermarkets. It's because we get a certain amount of money, brothers and sisters, that we don't agree to pay taxes on that money. But that tax money that we agreed to pay and have the governor keep it and organize it and use it. We don't get anything. They might give you some food stamps and play with you with them food stamps and give the adult something, Social Security, and play with them with the Social Security. So we just walking into a trap. The African American males and females. Jobs is hard to get. And when you get on these jobs, they use you. You go through a second slavery. They making all the money. Making all the money. And they give you a little change, enough to make it. Just stay in debt. Enough to stay in debt. But as far as being able to take care of your properties, establish businesses, you don't have enough money to do that. You can't get ahead in this life. Only thing you can do is struggle and try to make it. You got some of us, after all these years, seem like they got a little change in their pocket, but they don't know what to do with it. So it's time for the African American peoples to rise. It's time to get our share of this dunya. Because God told us not to forget your share of this dunya. So we gonna not break the laws. Live a good life. Some of us is dying and never will see an opportunity. Brothers and sisters, we got to set up in the government. But the government is obligated to help the needy and the poor. The business person, the farmer, but they'll never get ahead. They'll forever stay dependent. So we, in essence, you know, we still enslaved. We still dependent. But we ain't got no fear no more. For some reason, we're not going to listen to the oppressor. For some reason. And for some reason, we're going to start listening to each other and supporting each other. Praise be to Allah. We thank Allah for blessing us with this opportunity to present this message. We came to you in peace, and we're going to leave you in peace. As-salamu alaykum. Alhamdulillah. But Agba, are you there? Okay. Brother Sharif, you like to say anything?
No, I wasn't prepared, Senator.
Let us know what's happening.
Yeah, I guess my mind is on the books.
Right.
Mother of the Nation, Clara Evans Muhammad. And these are two books we should all get them having our home library.
Boy.
Yeah, that's just a lot we don't know about Sister Clara, you know?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I think when I first... When I got the book and I was reading, I saw on the first page it was saying, they got my attention right away there. I was, you're always trying to find someone you're looking for, you don't see it, you know. But anyway, like I say, we've been trying to make this announcement all over, telling people about these books. And that's why we got about five or more distributors now. My sister Nira out of Chicago, she's a distributor. That brother, man, Wahid out of Durham, North Carolina, he's a distributor. Yeah, they got about, but some people say, yeah, if you can't get any place else, you can go online, get on Amazon. Yeah, these two books. And it's Claire Muhammad. Yeah, I guess that's all I had to
What's the name of the book?
Mother of the Nation, Clara Evans Muhammad, wife of Elijah Muhammad, mother of Imam Bevedin Muhammad.
Right.
Yeah, and he got two books. Book one, has pictures of Clara there without glasses on, and on the book two has her. Wearing a pair of glasses.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what is the cost of them?
I think it was $20, I believe it was.
Uh-huh.
I think it was about $20 each.
Okay. And you didn't say that you were selling, did you? You said somebody else.
No, I'm not distributing. No, I'm not selling.
Okay. And what the brother name selling?
Yeah, got Imam Wahid. He's out of Durham, North Carolina.
Okay.
And you know, Sister Nira in Chicago on Lifeline.
Yeah, I say we stayed close in front of each other when I was living in Chicago.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Amira or Samira?
No, Amira. She's on the Lifeline. She called in to, on the first Sundays. And, yeah, she's well-known in the community.
Yeah. I knew her mother.
Yes. Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, her mother's, because they announced on the call and identify themselves. Her mother's Ruby. Yes, it's Sister Ruby. That's her mother.
No, Sister Amira's mother's
bad. Oh, no, I was thinking about Tawanda. I got so much on my mind.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
I'm just
Right.
What's her name? I knew his grandmother. I knew all of them. The bar center was right down from us.
Uh-huh.
You know, on 73rd is there.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. we knew each other's children.
And so, right. Uh-huh.
Yes. So alhamdulillah.
She's one of the distributors. Uh-huh.
Right. Oh, she's one of the distributors. Oh, okay.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Good. Check with I can check it. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. That's one thing. Is a fact. You know, we are not informed, brother. We are not informed. You know, we need to learn as much as we can about our history. We need to know that. And we need to know why a whole lot of things was done. But I mean, we got to study.
That's right. Uh-huh.
You know, because I remember the imam said that most of the stuff that Master Muhammad gave us wasn't true. It wasn't true, but it had a purpose.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it had its purpose. You know, I mean, like the color black, you know, he knew that the black man wasn't God. You know, black ain't so much, it's superior. And he knew that's not a label for us as human beings, you know. Mm-hmm. But he took that color on because the Caucasian had the color white.
Mm-hmm.
And he noticed in the Bible most all the peoples in the Bible was so-called white, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the imam said he used black as a psychology.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because the Caucasian was using white as a psychology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they represent white. And so Master Muhammad gave us black. And we moved out in front of the Caucasian, the so-called
mm-hmm.
white,
yeah.
You know, and started getting our people together with that false
mm-hmm.
color,
mm-hmm.
you know. And the imam said it was a psychology.
Mm-hmm.
It just represents a psychology that is being used, you know,
mm-hmm.
alhamdulillah. So it's stuff like that we need to know that,
mm-hmm.
and learn that, and so when we hear these colors and different things like that, we know exactly the meaning of it, the root of it, you know, and how they were using it and why they were using it, you know. So that's important. That's real important. You know,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. It did such a simple thing, but at that time we couldn't think in that direction, you know. He just simply reversed the psychology. You know? He just simply reversed it all. He has, Ferrari said he had came in our America a number of times before 1930. He had came in and go out and study books he was watching. All our leaders, he studied them, and he came in, you know, back and forth in and out of America. So he just came and embraced the psychology, and it worked. I mean, it worked perfect.
It worked.
You know, we always saw everything we saw was white. White was pure. He just said, embrace the psychology. He said, the black man is God.
That's right.
That's right. But he just embraced the psychology, and we was coming into the community. I know I came in 72, coming in from the community. I mean, everywhere we looked, there were young brothers in their 20s and 30s coming into the community.
Yes, sir.
I was little, right across the street from a housing area, and almost it looked like, some of these projects are so big, they got thousands people in some of these public housing projects. Looked like almost a fourth of the project became Muslim.
Yeah, man, look at him. I was watching television, and it showed there in Detroit, Michigan,
it showed how 25,000 people, that's what it say on the television, 25,000 people became Muslims, so-called black Muslims there in Detroit, in 3 years.
Right.
25,000 in 3 years. And they showed on television the long line of people going in and joining the Nation of Islam.
That's right. I mean, not Baltimore, but in Detroit, Michigan. Right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They showing that on television now. Yes, sir.
Right.
So that's, I mean, it was amazing. I came in Islam there in Seattle, Washington.
Seattle, Washington.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I came in Islam in Seattle, Washington. You know, it was in the late 60s, you know. And, oh man, I'm talking about, Allah blessed me to go, and I had a whole lot of people was encouraging me, you know, and we had smart, educated people that was in charge, you know. We even had a brother that was on the news, he was, I forgot his name, you know, that was there working with us. The imam, the minister, you know, George Muhammad, he wasn't a district attorney, you know, and you had other people that was professional. We had school teachers, you know, that was, you know, professional school teachers. We had that, all that in our community there in Seattle, Washington, you know. And so it was, I was up under that type of impression, influence, you know, of educated peoples that was teaching us, you know, and what they did, they was encouraging young brothers to get up and make presentations. I was one of the brothers.
Now, what year you said when you came in?
Seattle, Washington.
I said, what year?
That was in about 6 or 7.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, about 6 or 7. And they influenced me. I couldn't drink too much. No, I wasn't no drinker. I didn't like the way it did me. I didn't like the way alcohol did me. I was out of control, you know. So I aged back from alcohol, you know, and smoking. I didn't do too much smoking. I didn't know how to smoke. But I got a cigarette. And the one I picked out was Winston.
I remember Winston.
I picked Winston, you know, because of the advertisement, you know, and things, you know. But when I became Muslim, I put all that down. You know, and hustling and all that other stuff, put all that down. And then I was upon the older brothers was truly sincere in training us and respected us, and we respected them. You know, they never did try to misuse us or nothing like that, you know, and we respected the women, you know. And that was one of the main things I liked about it, about Islam, you know, how we respect women and how we respected each other. You know, I wind up going into my own business,
Me and another brother named Jason got jobs at the SeaTac Airport. We went and talked to food and beverage manager. Got Jason to do it because Jason was younger and he was sharp. Jason was super. I told Jason, you represent us, you know. And we talked to the food and beverage manager there at the SeaTac Airport, and we told him that we knew how to shine shoes. We were professional shoe shine. And this food and beverage manager put in and bought us, each one of us, a shoe shine stand. And we had shoe shine stands in different Concord, you know, and he charged us $15 a month. That's all. $15 a month. And brother, we made some money. We were making so much money, brother. I'm telling you, at the end of the day, we couldn't fold it. We couldn't fold it and put it in the house. We had to leave it open. We made that money, man. Jason and I. You know, Jason had a coin car, and I had a coin car. I wound up hiring people on my end. Jason wound up hiring people on his end. This is telling the truth. I'm telling you the truth. It's for real. You know. We used to come in the airport walking together real fast in our MOI suit. We were walking around in our MOI suit. Some people were looking at us, man. You know, yeah. We were walking. We were walking together. You know, so all that happened, man. You know, I remember we used to go and pick. You know, we used to get guests there in Seattle, Washington, and we had a limousine to go and pick up guests. A limousine. We came to get. You know, and we used to pick up the guests, open the door, for the people to set them in the back,
That's right.
We all used to also travel with that limousine, and we used to rent out a place. We used to go to a place there in Washington that was. The city is belongs to the city, but the community could use it. We used to have an opportunity. We used to go and talk to people that were in charge and set up places where we used to have meetings, you know. You have meetings, make presentations and things like that. And you used to bring guests, you know. And we used to do dawa in the streets of Seattle, Washington. We were so strong. We used to go door to door. And we were so strong, the police knew us. We called a brother breaking into a car, and we whooped him. We whooped him, and the police saw us whooping him, and he seen who we were. He knew who we were. And he asked us, do y'all need any help? we said, no, we got it. He broke into our car and tried to steal Muhammad's feet. And we were whooping the brother. Brother broke down and told him, said, man, look here, I was thinking about becoming a Muslim.
So he's thinking about it, huh? And he was thinking too slow.
we had a good time. I got to bear witness to it, you know, growing up and being in the nation, we used to have a good time. Eat good. Oh, man, we used to have a good time. That's Seattle, Washington. You know, you know, we had people come out of California play like that, imams and things, ministers, excuse me, ministers coming out there making presentation. We even had this here. This brother was an entertainer. What did one saying? He sang a song. He said, "I got you. I can't do anything." You know who I'm talking about?
With it, I got you.
Yeah. I can't think. Just a blues singer. It's a blues singer. I can't think of his name. But anyway, he was a Muslim. This brother I'm talking about. He was a Muslim, and we had a sister that worked in the public school. She was one of the sisters that was heading the sisters, you know.
MGT.
MGT, that's right, MGT. I couldn't think of it. So we had it going on real strong, brother. We had it going on real strong. They was encouraging me to go up there and teach. And I got to the point, I was scared at first. I got to the point where it got easier. You know, the more I taught, you know, it got easier and easier. You know,
CPC Come Trust in Graceland. Now, CPC was see if y'all can help me out here. CPC was the collective purchasing, right, where we put our money together make the purchases of different things. So what was Come Trust? Was Come Trust the owner of the land? Amen.
Community trust.
Right.
They cut it short because it's Come Trust. It was community
trust.
Yeah, we had put trust in our people, trust in the community, trust in the leaders, and trust, community trust.
Right.
You could be.
Right.
So,
and also
what was Graceland?
Yeah, Graceland. Exactly.
CPC came for CPC Community Purchasing Conference. Purchasing Conference. That was CPC.
Collective Purchasing Conference. Okay, then. Did ComTrust was it the vehicle that the man bought real estate, land and stuff?
Yeah, it's that everything basically came under community trust.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of things that we were doing, it came under that umbrella of community trust.
I see. So what was the function of Graceland then?
Now Graceland was that came after Graceland came out of the CPC. Matter of fact, I see it has some magazines on Graceland.
It's showing the type of things that the imam was getting, and we it was setting us up where we could get them from different countries, different things like that. And I don't know whether or not you remember the white in H&G, Sister Halima's stepfather, what's his name? Oh, shit. I can't think of
I can't think of his name. He was there in California, and he moved to Chicago.
Oh yeah, that was not Ali.
Not Ali. That was not Ali.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not Ali. Went to mm-hmm. Peru and got the fish.
Right. That's right.
Contract for mm-hmm. the fish, and that was going smooth for a while. You know, until we got the infiltrators in there. I remember Sammy Bilal and Muslima, and then I went around with him for a while, but he was getting too bossy with the believers. You know, because they weren't moving the people, the different cities that we were going to, they weren't moving fast enough, you know.
Yeah.
And so when he made presentation to them, he got ugly with the people, you know. I don't know how that stopped. For some reason, somebody cut that off, you know. Good
mm-hmm.
program. But we still had brothers that was buying collectively. They used to go and buy wholesale. We used to get money from maybe about 10 people, you know, $25. And they would use that money to go to a wholesale place and buy product wholesale. And then we come back and we split it up among mm-hmm. the people that paid for it, you know, mm-hmm. and they got so much that we was doing that every week. We were doing mm-hmm. that every week, and we were saving money. We were saving money because we was buying our product wholesale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we had some things that we use every day, you know. That's what we were buying, mm-hmm. things that we had to use on a regular basis. So the brother was one picking that up, and we did good. I can't think of this brother's name. He passed. Oh, man, I can't think of his name. He was wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Man, a good friend, real good friend.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to sell those picture paintings.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He got so many of them. He started producing them himself. He started producing them himself. The man was making so much money, you know, until he built one of those. I think it was a $1 million home. I think it was $1 million, a little bit under $1 million. It had a theater in it, and he used to produce his own art and things like that, and he used to sell to a whole lot of wealthy people.
Mm-hmm.
Those paintings that you put up in your houses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I can't think of his name. I'm looking at him right now. I can't think of his name.
Mm-hmm.
But he was one of the brothers that was ministers. You know, he taught in Shreveport, Chicago, and different places like that, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, it was going on all over here, New York, New Jersey, Georgia.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Virginia, D.C. Yeah, man. CPC. Yeah, it was working well. I mean, it was really moving.
Yes, sir.
That's right. We had the suits and the watches and, oh, man, we had a whole lot that came up on the CPC.
Yeah, you had a few brothers that were selling the suits.
That's right.
I remember when they went and got, and they had it in Moscow, they had the shea butter.
Yeah, shea butter,
big,
that's right.
In big cases.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened
they let the shea butter sit up there and start getting rotten. In the case. Then Chicago. And I never forget that, because we was just looking at everything, you know. But they let that shea butter was, man, they use right now, these people use shea butter in everything.
Yeah, that's right. Shea butter, everything almost.
Yeah, them people that took it over. I remember the brothers when they started up this they call it Philadelphia steak and tape.
We remember
the brothers, different brothers that did it, you know, used to make that sauce.
Yep,
you
that's
know,
right.
Had a sauce with it. And also, I remember Charles just passed, the brother that baked the bean pie there in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the brother, light-skinned brother, used to make the ice cream. I ain't never had no ice cream like that, not since he died.
Mm-hmm.
He used to make that ice cream. It was creamy. It was creamy. And it was good. It tastes like ice cream. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That was there in Chicago. That was there in Chicago. You know? The imam brought egg meat, I think. Yeah, was it egg meat?
Yeah, egg meat. That's right, egg meat.
Right. So the imam was encouraged, and then he started a whole lot of committees up.
Yeah, you know? I remember when the committees started, yeah, too. As a matter of fact, I was working with the brother doing distribution right after the man had come in. We were going to the different businesses, things, selling the bakery products, you know, the bean pies and the carrot cakes and all that. So anyway, we heard someone that came in and listened about we're going to starting a committed system. So anyway, that particular Sunday, go start on a Sunday. A lot of us hadn't never heard about the committed, you know. So anyway, I said, okay, I'm going to go to one of these meetings and see what it's about. So anyway, I went and I became a part of it. The first committee they had was the family committee. So anyway, I came back the next Monday. But like he said, oh, what committee you get on? I told him the family committee, you know?
Yeah.
He said, what's
that
about?
Yeah, I remember that. That's
then
right.
The Ways and Means committee.
Ways and Means. The Craig committee.
Craig, that's right. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got on the Craig.
Uh-huh.
I got on me and Nathaniel Omar. What's his brother's name? They got this white in the middle of his head. He was a normal.
Oh, that's
South,
I know him real well.
Idris.
Yeah, that's right. Muhammad Idris.
That's right. Yeah.
What we have to do, we have to go through our collections of tapes and CDs and let's piece together those CPC meetings and CPC conferences and CPC lectures.
Sir.
I got one that the imam taught on, lit me up. It just lit me up, brother. It was imam said, what we call CPC contrast and Graceline. He said, we'll be successful. You know, if America falls, this is going to go on. He say, because it's from Almighty God. It's a plan that Almighty God gave the prophets. And if we just keep it up. Yeah, I got it, man. I got that tape, man. That And I had a whole, once upon a time, I had a website called CPC, Come Trust and Graceline. And I let it go because I'm trying to do Sister Claire Muhammad. But, yeah, man, CPC, Come Trust and Graceline. Amen. Say it will be successful if you, he said, if you stick with it, because it came from, it comes from Almighty God. It was a plan that he gave the prophets. Amen. I got the tape. So what we got to do is we got to collect those tapes and you know, see if we could get all the information we can of how Imam talked about CPC, Contrast, and Graceline. And maybe we got to transcribe it so it'll be transcribed and people could read it, all that, you know. Because Imam
the transcription that did the best job was Brother Nasser Ahmed. He was the one. Nasser Ahmed. As a matter of fact, Ahmed used to go around, and I used to go around with him, and I was assigned to go to different masjids too, just to see who was teaching the Tylene of the Imam, or whether or not they was teaching the Middle Eastern brothers teaching. But Nasser used to shoot the films. You know, I mean, he used to set up the screen and just demonstrate talk to the people and show how we can start Friday prayer. You know, we started going to the Nation of Islam, and we was teaching them how to do Friday prayer, you know, and there was quite a few places there in Atlanta, you know, that a lot of, bless me, I started the brothers and sisters doing the Friday prayer, you know, the Juma, doing the Juma. They wasn't doing the Juma, but I think Yahya is one of the brothers that got the suits. Yahya, he was in Texas then. I think in Florida now. But he was one of the brothers that was selling the suits. I don't know what he did. I ain't gonna lie to you. You know, because I had told the Imam that I was leaving. And I was going down to Louisiana, you know, and because I was on full, you know, and the reason I left Louisiana was that, you know, I seen the condition that our people was in, African American brother. I said, I prayed to Allah. I said, Allah, if they knew better, they'll do better. That's the prayer that I was saying to Allah.
Alhamdulillah, when the Imam passed, we should not have stopped. We act like, you know, the Quran says, they have a passage in there that says, well, if you believe, I don't know, I forgot how it goes, but it's if you either you believe in Allah or you believe in the message. In other words, if you believe in Muhammad, you know, in other words, you're wrong. But if you believe that Allah lives on and on and on, then you're right, you know. I kind of paraphrase. I really didn't get that right. But in other words, we were supposed to pick up and keep going.
Yeah.
And I know we had problems. I know we had devils trying to sue the Imam and all that kind of stuff and all that ignorant stuff.
Exactly.
But we should have picked right on up, kept going, And even though we had brothers going downtown buying suits from the Jews, that wasn't what Imam Muhammad was asking us to practice. I mean, that might have been a good little business thing, you know, but the whole idea was to practice what the Imam put down, you know, because he used to teach on, he says, Walmart did the same thing. Walmart made billions of dollars by going overseas and dealing with the Chinese. No matter what they say, China's the enemy. China's the enemy. That's BS. People, boy, they keep importing stuff from China big and making billions of dollars. Billions of dollars.
Man, they had the Middle Eastern brothers was buying thousands of suits. They were doing exactly what the Imam was telling us to do. The Middle Eastern brothers. I seen this with my own eyes. They were buying thousands of suits and it was setting them up. And they was able to get, you know, the real estate. They were able to get places that was out on the front and places that people would see that looked nice, and they were able to set those suits up, and they were selling suits. I saw this with my own eyes. They're in Atlanta, Georgia. In Atlanta, Georgia. You know. So I think one of the biggest thing problems that we have is getting people to think like you. You know, you had to get the people to think like you, and when you're trying to set up the email program. You got to have people that are working with you, because they'll come against you. They'll come against you. You know that. But I mean, you know, they will come against you.
You know, you would always expect opposition, but you know,
You have an opposition. You have to walk through it. You had to walk through opposition. You know, and keep on being persistent, and you know eventually you'll find out the real one from the one that's not for real. Then you got to have money. You got to have some kind of cash flow.
Well, see, that was the collective part of it. That's the thing. Yeah. That was the collective part, putting your money together and trusting each other that we would do the right thing. You know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, there's many people that picked up some of the things that we doing, you know. And I said, well, maybe a lot is blessing us. You know, they're doing the same thing that we doing. You know, and like when we were trying to get land, they had people start buying land. Everywhere, you know, buying land, you know, farmland, Muslims, you know, you know, it just had to keep going. I mean, I'm not gonna stop. I'm gonna keep going, I seen where that I had to start looking out for myself, because I was going you know, I think I lost two wives for working, doing dawah, pushing dawah, you know, and wasn't taking care of my own personal business, you know. I lost two wives behind that, but I found out that I had to just keep on being sincere and get people that with me that wants to do this, had the same spirit that I had, you know, and the same love for Allah, you know, and whatever I had to go through, we'll go through it. Yeah, we'll go through it. You got a whole lot of brothers is you got a whole lot of brothers. You got more brothers now. Is ready. You got a whole lot of brothers ready right now. I'm serious. You know, and some of them is, a whole lot of them is young. They're young. You know, so we just had to wait with them and let them know we're not your enemy. And let them see that you know what you're pushing the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad. That's what you're all about. So alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah.
We cannot forget CPC, Crumb Trust, and Graceland. You know,
yes, sir.
You know, I know reparations is coming up. It's growing. It's got momentum. It's growing and everything. But we have to do our CPC, Crumb Trust, and Graceland, and keep up and keep the community informed about the reparations movement and everything, but also let the community know about that those God sent plans, CPC, Crumb Trust, and Graceland. Amen. Say, came from Almighty God.
Almighty
God. CPC, Crumb Trust, and Graceland.
Yeah.
And we need to. Where's Samuel Belal? Samuel Belal still living? That's Abby Blair. I'm talking about the imam's assistant. What was that brother's name?
You talking about Blair, the one in the poet?
The brother was Imam Muhammad's assistant. What was his name? The brother who was helping the imam with the economic programs too, and he used to bring the imam on and what was his name?
What city was he from?
State? No. Huh? He used to be with the imam all the time.
He was there in Chicago.
Yeah.
Muhammad Idris was way close to the imam, too. Muhammad Idris.
Yeah,
that's how contact with the... With the suit through Imam Muhammad Idris. He was working close with the Imam then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let me see. He's talking about there in Chicago, though. I'm trying to think who was there in Chicago. Oh, let me see.
Well, where he used to bring the Imam on, he says
Plymouth. He was in Atlanta.
I'm talking about to be with him all the time. To travel with the imam. And he was when the imam passed, they kinda halfway accused him of kicking off with some money or something, I don't know. But I don't go for all that. What's that brother's name? You know what I'm talking about.
I definitely should know that, man.
He's be around with the imam all the time. Just all everywhere the imam goes, he bring the imam on. In fact, when the imam talks about like the final playing field, or like the I think he introduced the imam on that talk.
On what talk?
On the one called Life, the Final Battlefield. Life, the Final Battlefield.
You're talking about Imam Earl Abdul Malik.
No.
Imam Abdul Malik.
This is brother-in-law.
His son-in-law.
A son-in-law, I mean. Yeah. You ain't talking about Pasha.
Pasha.
No, Pasha out of New York. No, he's out of
New
York.
New York.
Talking about a heavyset brother. Used to bring the imam on all the time. And it was kind of funny. He was always telling a little lightweight, little joke. What was the brother's name?
They had different brothers. They had a brother out of Kansas City to bring him on.
Yeah.
Let's see. So.
Wow.
Hmm.
Well, anyway, yeah, he was up. Yeah.
I knew the brother that one that brought up this saying right down to the modern time, fast moving, quick stepping, right down to the modern time. Well, I'm looking at it. Can't think of his name. His son got hit by a car there in Chicago. I kind of think was that him that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But he used to bring the imam on a whole lot of time. He thought that he was going to be the imam.
Oh, no.
He submitted to it. He submitted to the imam when the imam got voted in. I can't think of one that you...
Yeah, I guess we're going back a few years, right?
Yeah,
Well, he was with the imam when the imam passed in 2008. He was with the imam. So the imam passed in 2008. In fact, he was with the imam for the last 5 or 10 years of his life. So always to bring him on.
Yeah.
Imam's wife, father, Muhammad, what's her name? Muhammad.
No, not Muhammad. I know what you're talking about. No.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of heavyset, bro. I think he was out of Carolina or Alabama. He was a southern brother.
He was a southern brother?
Yeah, southern brother. And he was kind of funny. And he may have trusted him.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, man, I thought my memory is better than that.
I said, know him. I'm serious. I said, really should know him.
Yeah. But you know, it'd be good for other radio shows. Not that people have to take the responsibility and be trying to organize people and be responsible for people's money and stuff like that. That's a big responsibility, and a lot of big time stuff. But we should talk about emails. Just so I can talk about the emails initiatives. They say, well, Moss cares to deal with the emails initiative. Well, how about CBC, Come Trust, and Graceline? You know, that should be something that we should bring up and just talk about it, the good and the bad. Because when it's in economics, it's going to be good and it's going to be bad up and down. But you just can't lay down and die. You know, you got to mm-hmm. find out what you did and keep going. Rafa. Rafa is his name. He said, Brother Rafa.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that Rafa?
Rafa. 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 Rafa.
No, I never said he would know email, but he used to bring the email on.
Oh, yeah. You showed me. Yeah, Brother Rafa. Yeah. I think he and Pasha came together. out of New York.
Yes. Right. Have any of y'all been to the conference? Any of y'all been to the conference? Is it any of their conferences?
Yeah, that
they hold
that
a conference too, don't they?
Yeah. They have a convention every year at the same time that the Moscow is having a convention. They had a convention in Inkster.
Right. Have y'all been there?
Oh, man.
No.
I haven't been there myself, but I heard a lot of people who have been there. Yeah, oh, yeah, man, that's some community got there. It's almost redoing a city. Got a big field for sports, basketball, football. Oh, man, I still get the paper from them. You know, got called the Thinker magazine, comes out of New York, the Thinker magazine.
And they got a big skating rink.
I mean, for the whole community. Got football. They got classrooms. They got a big building where they have about a number of different classrooms in the school. I mean, I haven't been there, but I heard a whole lot of people speak about it because I saw pictures of it in the magazine, you know, Thinker magazine.
Yeah.
Inkster, Michigan.
So they have a school there, too? They have a school?
Oh, yeah. It's a school is on the campus that they got. When Pasha went there, it's almost like a whole layout. Got a school, classroom, got a gym. We got a big gymnasium. We got other properties there. They got a football field, a basketball field court.
And a
skating rink. I mean, it's got a fabulous skating rink.
Wow.
Yeah. They have a convention there every year at the same time that the Miles Kales having a convention. Yeah, Inkster, Michigan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Miles Kales don't have no more than about 300 people.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. They have thousands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's real.
Mm-hmm.
I know Rob real good. I mean, mm-hmm. he used to give me all my I had Imam on the air. Yeah, in Atlanta. I had this tape. I was getting this tape, and I was taking it to the person that put him on air, you know. And I was getting them from Rafa. I was sending him the money, and the brother out of New York, Pick Supreme, what is his name? I can't think. Pick Supreme there in. In Atlanta.
Yeah. They're the one that went overseas a couple years ago. Yeah. Waleed Shamsuddin.
Shamsuddin, that's right. Shamsuddin, me and him were real good friends. He I used to do a lot of dawah there in Atlanta. He called me to his office and told me that how much he respected me, and asked me how could it help, you know, do dawah, because he had seen I was doing dawah there, real strong. And I said, well, I got, I like to put the imam on the air, you know, there in Atlanta, and I did, I had the imam on the air for years there, and I used to send Rafa the money. I used to send Rafa the money for the tapes that matter of fact, I got so many tapes. I had moved and put them over in my brother's garage, and he moved them somewhere. I don't know where the hell he moved them. But anyway, I had all the imam tapes, all them tapes, all the cassette. I'm talking about going all the way back to cassette, you know, cassette and then the other kind, you know. But I was getting them from Rafa and from Wallace. That's how Wallace knew me. you know, because I had the Imam on the air. Had him on the air in Shreveport also, Shreveport, Louisiana. You know. And that's how I knew. Rafa was one of the brothers that everybody used to hang out there, and another brother, which was my good friend, John Ramadan, and the Imam got them too. He got Aisha. They used to come around and listen to us make presentations at the Craig Committee. You know, we have our meeting there. And she used to come by and check us out all the time. But anyway, the Imam picked her to be over the paper, and had Rafa there, one of his right hand men, and John Ramadan. I said, "Hey man, what's going on here?" You know, Imam had picked them, you know, and they were real, real close to the Imam. And, you know, I never heard any of the Sharia. And have you heard, you know, John Ramadan is the one that used to bring the Imam, used to sell his tapes and do all the advertising for the Imam.
Yeah, you're right, John Ramadan. Yeah, he's the one that you do all the taping and everything. He traveled, the Imam did all the taping when the Imam was going to different program.
But I haven't heard him. After he died, I haven't heard him. On somebody I heard is Wallace.
Yeah, I believe in John Ramadan. Yeah, he passed a few years ago.
No, I said I haven't heard him. You know, as far as advertising and presenting the tapes, the voice that I hear. Doing the advertisement is somebody else. You know, I haven't heard John Ramadan's voice.
Oh, no. That's it. Man, Y.D. Muhammad the second. He's the one that does on the advertising on the tapes where you can get the tapes and all that. That's Man, Y.D. Muhammad the second.
The second. Okay, then. All right.
So at the brothers' convention, you said thousands of people be there at the brother with Imam Pasha in Inkster.
The one that I used to go to, they have room, and Juma be over 1,000 people at the Juma, you know.
And they got football field, and
is that right? Hey, man, they have it together every year.
Yeah, you can go online and put in the Thinker. That's a newspaper
that
they have come out of.
That's right, the Thinker. That's in New York.
It's called the Thinker. Park.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, go online, put in the Thinker newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
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 They'll tell you a lot about the schools and the property that he got there in Easter.
Mm-hmm. Imam Pasha. They were him.
Yeah, right.
Real close. They were real close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For Imam Muhammad and Pasha.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
He's wanted to help to save Malcolm Chavez, because one time he was under the pressure financially. Imam Pasha had a lot of contacts and everything, and he's one that named help to save Malcolm Chavez in Harlem, New York.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, he's a good brother.
Yeah, good brother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So good brother. Where is the naming of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? It's a certain section of some city named after Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Oh, that's in New York City, right?
No, say that again.
A certain section of, I think, New York City, some section of Harlem or somewhere, mm-hmm. They're named after
Mustafa Elijah
Muhammad. Street. He got a street name after him.
Yeah, right? your name a couple weeks ago. Matter of fact, I saw it, I think about 2 or 3 weeks ago. So anyway, let's pay a Saturday because I usually go down to Harlem every Saturday, you know. Yeah, the street is on 127th Street and Malcolm Chabert Boulevard. 127th Street, and they call it Lenox Avenue, and it's also called Malcolm Chabert Boulevard. It's right there. It's a sign reading up on the street, on around the street corner, Honorable Elijah Muhammad's. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad's, I think it's Boulevard, I believe, or Ways. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, that's progress. Progress.
Yes. Have y'all ever been to New York, to Harlem?
I've been to New York once.
I used to go to the wholesale houses in New York.
Yeah,
that's
right.
About it. Mm-hmm. Wholesale houses I remember I was traveling with my grill. I had a big grill, and we had a brother. I was working with this brother, and he had about 6 other brothers with him. And I was doing the cooking, and what we was doing was cooking food for people to break the fast, for the masjids to break the fast. And we stayed in the masjid there as Siraj Jahad. Yeah, there in New York. You know, but... And then I went to about 3 different masjids, you know, mm-hmm. where I cooked at, where I did the barbecue at, mm-hmm. you know, and that's about the only time
when you get opportunity, you come to New York to Harlem, New York. Matter of fact, if you're planning on coming to the convention, you know, the convention going to be in December. Time to Be Grateful convention.
Yeah, December 7th.
Matter of fact, they're doing a tour. Going to have a tour bus. They're going to be coming to parts of Jersey, parts of New York, Malcolm Chabert. It's going to be a great, great, great tour. Take all these famous place we're talking about, Malcolm Chabert's and
yes,
in Harlem, New York.
Harlem, New York. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm doing a lot. Now I've been to New Jersey, but
mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was staying in Baltimore with my son.
Right. Okay.
Baltimore, Maryland.
Yeah, Tariq.
With Tariq, me and Tariq. Alhamdulillah. I like that Baltimore. I like New York too. I like the people there in New York, and I sure like the people in Newark. Real them brothers hustle. They mm-hmm. want to do something, you know.
They're really, really pushing the time to be grateful over Newark. Now, it's going to be big. It's going to be big. If you can get there for those three days.
Yes, sir. I'm really striving to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right. My brothers. Let's close out with prayer. Can somebody need a prayer?
Yes, sir. With Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful, master of this day of judgment, thee alone do we worship and thine aid do we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those whom thou bestowed thy favor and mercy and grace. None of those whom thy wrath has brought down, not those who go astray, I mean.
All right.
All right.
Allah.